was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Una Healy, and you're very welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast. I'm so happy to be here with my Uncle Nick and Ernie. No, I'm joking. I am Johnny Smacks. Lads and ladies, you are welcome to Podcast 38, coming to you from the home of Junior A Hurling, that is Two Johnnies HQ, here in Care, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are talking about one of Ireland's biggest problems. No, not Johnny B tucking his t-shirt into his jeans. I am, of course, talking about the increasing obesity levels here in Ireland and how we can solve it.
Johnny B will be addressing the t-shirt issue later. But in the meantime, we may come to blows as we sit down to debate our top five Irish films of all time.
He invented the third man tackle and wired more jaws shut than a dentist. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
And our beloved producer Maureen is flat out with the toy show on the Late Late, which led us to take to our phone books and approach our only female friend with any radio experience. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in the hot seat this week, Lauren Guilfoyle.
Thanks, guys.
Lauren will be here to keep order and grill us with her mystery topic, and we close out the podcast like we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
We went for and this week.
Yeah, we've got it right. It's there. Yeah, yurt and dirt. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sean O'Connor was onto us on Snapchat and he said, "Well, lad, surely this is worth an old news mug. I'll be the judge of that, Sean O'Connor." He said, "We're here in South Africa at the minute, and we went to a native African culture village for, you know yourself, a bit of culture."
Christ.
"And after they had finished their dance," is that what they call it now? Is it? "We were walking out, and one of the dancers, who definitely hasn't a notion where Camross is, asks me, 'You from Ireland? You play Sigerson Cup?' Lad, we fell over laughing. Couldn't believe it. Looking forward to the podcast." She's obviously had a few Irish customers in the past.
My God, Sean's in the hunt for a mug. No, he's in Africa, is he?
He's not getting a mug, lad.
Postage and packaging out there. Okay, Heinz Jamie was in touch on the gram. "Finished listening to the latest podcast and said I'd share a Halloween story with you from when we were kids. The owl had lit a bonfire in the wheelbarrow because he didn't want to burn a hole in the lawn. The tire of the barrow went on fire, so he decided to tip it out and try save the wheelbarrow. In doing so, he roasted the hands off himself because the handles were red. He ended up with the barrow wrecked and the lawn scorched and hands in blisters." Just burn it in the lawn, man.
Cormac was on Insta. He said, "Well, boys, Cormac from Ring here in Waterford. Penny for the pookie is not gibberish."
Good man, Cormac.
"Pooka is the Irish word for ghost. So penny for the pookie means penny for the ghost. Or is it like small ghost or ghosts in plural? Penny for the pookie?"
Maybe. Yeah, so that came from my one last week. I was saying in Ross Grey, we say penny for the pookie, not trick or treat like the Yanks. So there you go.
Go on, boy.
Messit 6 was in touch. "Lads, Halloween epitomised here. I'm here sitting at the dart station in Dalkey on the way..." Oh, Dalkey. Oh, my God. "On the way home from work, right, at 8:30 at night, listening to the podcast, and there's a gang of about 10, 16-year-olds beside me, dressed as Pablo Escobar, Donald Trump, McLovin and James Bond. They're drinking cheap cider and bumming smokes off me. And there's a 30-year-old trying to get me to drink a bottle of wine with him while talking the ears off me. You gotta love Halloween, a season for all." And I tell you, that's probably a first for Dalkey to see that kind of carry on. They're all very cultured out there, I would say, John.
I don't know what kind of Halloween they're having. Eugene Sheehy was also onto us on the gram saying, "Lads, went to the live podcast, going to the show in Templemore. Good man, but he's missing the Christmas party for a wedding in Texas. That is no excuse. On match brawls, though, the brother played in a Junior B football final last year. 5 minutes to go and the match got abandoned." Oh, I hate that. 40-man brawl. Opposition manager kicked one of our lads on the ground. County board allowed a replay. 19 lads suspended for the replay and a 2-month ban for the opposition manager. We won the replay all the same.
Ronan 5500 on Snapchat said, "A few years back, myself and a few lads in college had nothing to dress up as. So after a few cans, we decided to put on black bags and paint the New Zealand crest and sponsor onto it. Six of us went out that night as the New Zealand All Sacks. Turned out to be an unreal night." I like that one.
I like that one. Kira on Insta said, "Love the podcast, lads. Only started listening there about 3 weeks ago. Kira, you should be fucking ashamed of yourself."
No, where have you been, Kira?
"Loving Noel's news, even though it was an awful sneer you gave Sinead O'Connor. Makes me homesick for the father talking shite, listening in Oz, and do get some looks on the train laughing."
Brilliant. Lastly, Finbar was onto us on Snapchat. Face paints, ye fancy fuckers. Referring to Halloween there. We used to get pairs of our mother's tights to put over our heads. And if we didn't like you, we'd give you a pair of old pissy ones. Yurt, I said. They should also have ye going around the schools promoting anti-drugs.
They should have us promoting anti-pissy
tights. That's insane from Finbar. Right. But here it comes. So who's going to get the Noel's News mug, which is kindly sponsored by hairybaby.com, where you can buy loads of lovely Two Johnny's merchandise. Almost sounds like an ad.
Almost. Well, for me now, it's between Finbar with the tights or the New Zealand All Sacks, Johnny.
Can we go with the... Sorry, Finbar, but can we go with the New Zealand All Sacks? What do you think, Lauren?
I like that one. It was a very inventive idea.
Yeah.
Ronan on Snapchat, so congrats on your... limited edition Hairy Baby Two Johnny's Noel's News mug.
Lovely. Johnny, that was a mouthful. Fair play, Chip, how you got that out.
I'm telling you, bye.
The weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnny's land this week? We announced our show in Whelan's. We announced it on Wednesday. Tickets went on sale on Friday morning.
And when we woke up Saturday morning,
they were sold out.
Yeah!
Motherfuckers!
Cannot be serious!
Yeah, and seemingly it's a massive big deal to play in Whelan's. I had friends texting me that I haven't heard from boys in a while. And lads are texting me.
Looking for a few pounds, right?
No, but they're like, oh, congratulations on selling out Whelan's and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? It's gas.
It's an iconic venue, man. All the great Irish bands would have come up and played in Whelan's.
Are you putting us in that category?
Well, I'm not, but you know, some people are. Really excited. It's our Christmas party, 11th of December. Look, it's sold out. I don't know why I'm telling you. It's just going to be amazing. We're so excited. Yeah. It's going to be all tunes.
And a massive thanks to everyone who bought tickets as well. Honestly, like, when we put these kind of things on sale, we sit at home and pray to God somebody likes us.
We came out of a meeting at lunchtime and there was an email saying, like, tickets are nearly sold out after a couple of hours. Well, we were useless for the rest of the day.
We had that Del Boy Trotter moment. We went out to the car and just, like, played it real cool. And then closed the doors and just went, yes! Somebody's buying the tickets. So thanks a million, lads. We can't wait to see you there in the night. Full band. Music show, bit of crack thrown in, couple of special guests. It's going to be unreal.
I'm working on special guests.
We're working on that hard. Johnny, this week you went hill walking.
I did, be God.
Yeah.
It's my new thing.
Intriguing. Go on.
This week I was in Glendalough.
Wow.
Down in Cork. Uh-huh. It's all right.
Is that in Cork?
Glendalough in Cork?
No, where did I go? Goonganbarra, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Not Glendalough. Goonganbarra.
Jeez, I don't know much about hill walking, but... I was pretty sure Glendalough is not in Cork.
Goonganbarra, as I call it. Nice little church there. But where I went the week before was even better. Coom Sheenon. I'm going to try and pronounce it. Down near Rockarmack and Waterford. Lauren, you've been there. It's class.
It's absolutely sensational.
Now, Smacks, there's no
bar. What's so good about it? Yeah, you see there. That's
you
the first...
might have bad knees, Johnny, but you have to go to this place.
Oh, what? There's actually physical activity involved. There's climbing.
It's actual mountain.
It's a fairly high ascent.
It's a tricky enough climb, lad.
And be aware there's an awful lot of sheep poop.
Yeah, I went in me sambas and jeans now. I probably shouldn't have.
He's doing all this hiking shit, right? With a pair of like shit runners, okay?
Yeah, I'm not going to buy all the gear.
Okay, so, and we done a charity cycle one time as well, and he done it in a pair of tracksuit bottoms and runners. Like, he wouldn't even buy the cycling gear. He won't commit to anything.
And a tip jersey.
And a tip jersey, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, my hole was broke the next day. Everyone had the padded shorts.
Yeah, I turned up like Sean Kelly. Yeah. I had to get off the bike halfway. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't sit in it. But yeah, so Johnny went hill walking. I, of course, had a day off this week while Johnny was hill walking. And I went to Coppers with my good friend Connor Sketches. We toured Dublin a new...
gum shield.
Pocket. Yeah, it was great. Great laugh. That was Tuesday night. And Enya Martin as well. We had a right laugh. It was a great night.
Saturday night, we attended the great Amanda Stapleton fundraiser. This is Boris Lee. And it was the Tip team of 2010 versus the Kilkenny team of 2010. What a night.
Both teams still have it.
Brendan Cummins in goal.
Honestly, if I can take anything from the night, bar, you know, the great community spirit shown and the money raised as well for a fantastic cause, we have to say that. The one thing we took away from it is Brendan Cummins still has it.
Yeah.
Was Liam Sheedy there?
He was. He was managing the team.
Yeah, we were getting the chant going, one more year, one more year. You know what I mean?
Oh, lad. He was good.
Brendan Cummins on Twitter, I'd say Liam Sheedy's going to be slipping into his DMs. Well, what are you at in January?
It was a great night, happy all. Also this week, we put the finishing touches to a new single, That'll Be Witchy, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we were commentating live in Boris Lee on the game.
Oh my God.
I don't think we were supposed to be, but I got bored and took the microphone.
So. Honestly, it was actually like we were back in school and say like, you know that kid in class who can't stay still? You know, Johnny couldn't just watch the game there. He was like, I'm bored out of my head. Where's that microphone? We go over to the microphone there, we'll have a bit of a laugh.
Mercy, watch out.
Yeah, to be fair now, it was the most obscure commentary ever provided at a hurling game.
Michael Breen, looking lean. David Young is not.
That was one of the preferred lines. You all said about poor old Mikey. You said he's just hurling up a storm in San Francisco. I marked him out there in the Harp Bar. But it was a great night had by all. Yeah, so, okay. Topic number one, obesity. Around 40% of Irish adults are overweight. These figures are even more alarming for people over 50 years of age. According to research and studies, almost 80% of people over 50 years of age are obese or overweight. Moreover, studies also indicate that a lot of people are on the road to suffering from a wide range of problems. What's going on at all? What do we do?
To quote Joan Burton, can I just say...
Go on.
This is a very delicate topic, and we don't wish to offend anybody. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not experts, but this is something that has been creeping up in Irish society, and we just wanted to have a cut at it, right? We want people to be happy in whatever skin they're in.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, mental health and all that is much more in consideration these days. And nobody's ever really happy with how they look, really, like. If some lad comes in and is like, I'm in great shape, everyone's like, prick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see the lad who's like, maybe he's 3 stone overweight. When he goes to the gym and loses, or goes running or cycling, whatever, and loses the 3 stone, he don't stop there.
Mm.
You want
to
keep
now going. He wants a six pack, yeah. Like. Now he's bringing lunchboxes to work, like.
Yeah.
So nobody's ever really happy. And we're going to have a cut here, and we don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
But we're just saying, it's Ireland is starting to slip.
I guess what you're saying is you want everyone to be happy, but you also want them to be healthy.
Yes.
That's to sum it up. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Lads, if anyone gets offended by this, we're sorry, right?
You can drop us an email. We'll print it out.
Yeah, we'll print it out, read it, and probably just put it in the back of the fire or something. But you can send it. No, I think the big thing, firstly, lads, to touch on is obesity in kids.
Mm.
Childhood obesity. 1 in 4 children is overweight or obese.
That's cruel to God, lad.
It's insane. Now, I know that firsthand. Now, I'm not saying I was obese as a child. I suppose I probably was technically classed as obese. You see, there's overweight, then there's like grade 1 obesity, grade 2, whatever. I'm fucking nearly sure I could have been grade 1. Now, in fairness, like, I was still playing hurling and stuff. I was just big. And like, as my mother said, John, you know, you were big. You were probably a bit fat, but like, you weren't, you know, you weren't overly big. She said, you were big boned. So
that's always the excuse.
Yeah, no, in fairness, like, I am a big enough unit, like, yeah, but you're broad, naturally, like, broad, I suppose, is the thing.
But, well then, Johnny, why?
Why was I
obese?
I don't know, I suppose I was kind of short and stocky, and, like, see, I had to ask my mother this, like, I said, like, was I eating, like, Stinger bars and Blackjacks, you know?
Refreshers.
And all that, yeah, refreshers and all that shit that kids eat, like, that rots your teeth and is full of sugar. And she said, no, you weren't, like, she said, but at 7 or 8, you were eating like an adult. Which
spuds and steak?
Yeah, I'd be having like 3 dinners, like, and like a lot of times it was only me and Mam, like, you know, so we'd head out for something to eat to a restaurant like maybe twice a week or 3 times a week, and I'd be eating like a man's portion, be having a big steak there, like, and I said, like, why didn't you get me a kid's portion? She said, sure, you're eating all the man's portion. I was going to have been like, if you were leaving half it, I'd been like, oh, he can't eat it all, and I'll get my child's portion. Tried to put away a big sirloin steak there, chips, onion rings, the whole lot, like, fucking 8 or 9 years of age. So it's no wonder I was that size. But I think a lot of it came from, like, I spent an awful lot of time in my nanny's house. You know, like a lot of Irish kids, you go to your nanny's or whatever, like,
yeah,
while your mom's in work and she'll pick you up and stuff. So nanny was doing a lot of the feeding, as I like to say. Now, her motto was, it's good to have a bit of weight on you, something to fall back on. God forbid if you're ever sick.
It's not a bank account.
It's not a rainy day fund. Yeah.
What if you ever get trapped in a lift?
Like, yeah,
come on, Lenny.
Like, but that was hurting now if I ever got sick. And, you know, a particular favourite of Nanny's was I'd stay there on a Saturday night and I'd go up to the house on Saturday night and there'd be a big bag of marshmallows waiting. Big 5,000 calories in the bag, I'd say. I put that away, not bother, off the bed, wake up the next morning, and that was the highlight of the week, was the fry. Now, I swear to God, you know the duck loaves? Do you know the baguettes, Johnny?
No, what? We're having this out. What is a duck loaf?
I've never heard of a duck loaf.
Huh? That's Ross Gray again for you, lads. But, you know, they're like the big rolls. You get them for like €1, say, in Super Value.
Big French baguette.
3 foot.
Baguette, yeah.
Yeah, a baguette.
Baguette.
It's 3 foot long. Them big yolks.
Yeah.
So she'd like cut half that now, in fairness. I'm not going to say I was eating.
You need half that.
Yeah.
That's a foot and a half of white bread.
Yeah, so a pound of butter as well.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Wait till you hear what goes into it. And like, So it's 1.5 foot now, right? So if you can imagine a Subway and a small little Subway roll, it's that length, right? And then she puts around 8 sausages into it, a couple of eggs, puddings, the whole lot, and mushroom and onion. And I'd eat it then. And then like that, that afternoon then we'd have dinner. And I'd have 2 or 3 dinners then as well.
And what age were you at this stage?
I was probably around 10 or 11 then. Yeah, probably.
That's some feeding for a 10-year-old.
But it is like, and like, I don't know, I just had a massive appetite. I'd put it away. And that probably stayed with me for life.
You were playing sport and all?
I was playing sport, yeah. I was active. You see, and it was... Like
you're saying, you didn't have computer games around.
To be fair, if I probably wasn't out and about and playing sport at the time, I'd have probably been dead from cholesterol. But I was very active as a young lad because we lived in town and there was a play park nearby.
Yeah.
So like, I'd go off 10 o'clock in the morning and I'd play soccer or have a few pucks. Might be back to 7 in the evening till it was dinner time. And like, compared to nowadays, if that was me nowadays, like as a kid, I'd probably eat the fry and sit in the Xbox for 8 hours and stuff like that. But like, to go back to that, at the time then, like, you get evaluated in primary school. So they take you in, make sure like you're healthy, check all your blood sugar, all that. And they were like, oh, you need to see a dietitian.
So who's this, like the doctor, nurse,
whatever,
in school?
Like, yeah, to come into the school, you know, like the
public inject, health nurse.
Yeah, that kind of, thanks Lauren, that, that kind of thing, whatever. So she brought me in and was like, oh yeah, you know, Miss McMahon, your son is like grade 1 obesity. And the mother was like, he's big, like, you know, let him alone, he's not obese, like, do you know what I mean? Just a big fella, like.
Denial.
And then like, it was the other end of the spectrum, like she was treating me like I was about to die, like, and I wasn't. I was out playing soccer, so I was just fat, a bit fat, like. And she was like, okay Jonathan, you know, what do you like to eat? And I was like, oh, chips. Like, fucking hell, I'm like 10, of course I like chips. She's like, well, I know now how we can combat this. You can only have chips on your birthday. And even my mother was like, what?
Seriously?
I was like, that's fucking once a year. We did. And yeah, that was her. That was her opinion.
You ran a chipper.
We ran a chipper, yeah. Our family business is a chipper, like, you know. It's kind of like here. That probably had something got to do with it as well.
You're probably dagging in there from a bag of chips on the home school, would you?
Not every day. Like, I'd probably
now and then, like.
Chippers, yeah, now and then. I'd play an old soccer match on Saturday, and then me and the whole team then go into chippers, like. The boys be hanging around for free bags of chips, like, as long as they could. But
I'm trying to tell someone that they have a bit of an issue.
Oh, you can take the Ger Halley approach. It was on last week.
Sparrow.
Yeah.
Like, great reaction to Sparrow last week. No.
Do you remember a few years ago, I put on a good bit of weight, like when I lost my job and stuff like that. I suppose I was, to quote, stuck in a funk. I was like, just staying in bed all day, like watching YouTube, and I was pure depressed, didn't want to do anything, didn't have a job, didn't have any money.
You went through the whole of
Law and Order UK, there's 8 seasons of 10 episodes. That's 80 episodes. Done it in a week.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Didn't leave the room.
Love, hate.
Love, hate as well. Got that in like a day, I'd say.
I swear to God, I was coming out of the bedroom to go to work and I'm like, yeah, by the end of the week, he had a Dublin accent. I was like, well, Johnny, you know, any sign of a job? Jesus, help my knee, not grief, all right? Jesus, Siobhan.
All right, Nidgy. But to quote Ger came in and was like, tough love job. He was like, look, you know, you need to get yourself sorted out for GA, like, because you're at fucking nothing as you are. Like, and it was the time the tight jerseys came in. And you're going, oh, fuck. Like, I'd be going to games, and if we were playing anyone in white and we had to change the jerseys, I'd be thrilled. And I'd have a better game because there were bigger jerseys.
Our green jerseys.
Yeah, so the white jerseys at the time were killing me. And Ger just came up and grabbed me by the back. By the back fan, just said, look at that shit.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah. And like, Ger's, what's Ger? 2 years older than me? Whatever. A year older than me?
Yeah.
Tough love. And I was like, shit. And then Ger was obviously, he was studying sport and recreation at the time and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's mad into the gym. So he took me under his wing. Yeah. And I got rid of it.
It's probably the way, like, when I had long hair, Smack said to me, lad, your hair is cat.
I said it for 2 years.
You said, you need to cut that. Mm. But if I was fat, would you said to me, lad, you're fat, you need to lose it?
Ah, well, like you said to me, like, I suppose.
I know I'll never call you fat.
Nah, there's roundabout ways of doing it. When I was in that funk, like, I'd be sitting down, like, we lived together then.
We did, yeah.
So I'd be sitting down having a kebab, and, like, you'd come in and be like, ah, oh, lad. No, the way, ah, lad, shut me in that shite, like. And then I'd be like, yeah. Feel fucking even worse about myself then. Back up to the bedroom. I'd eat in the bedroom.
I'll say it just as you're about to eat it.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Sorry, lad.
I think you do have to be straight. What would you do, Lauren?
Well, see, it's kind of hard for me because I'm a physio as well.
Yeah.
So I have a certain level of license.
Yes.
Because I am a healthcare practitioner as well. but in terms of, I might say it's a very close friend, but like, how far does that circle go?
Yeah.
Like, could I come in here and say it to you guys? Could I go and say it to my neighbor? Like when does it become inappropriate to broach that subject?
That is true. I think it's got to be just your close friends, isn't it? Johnny, you can't walk up someone in the street and be like, you're fat. You know,
that's... No, I wouldn't. It's none of my business.
Mm. Guess if you care enough for someone that you don't want
to
see them.
It's the follow-up though, isn't it? You can't just say that and walk away. You have to follow up and help them.
I suppose there's ways to
say it. How to broach it and how to maybe come out the other side.
Well, if you're treating a patient and they have, let's say, a knee issue, you can say, look, if we're going to get your knee 100%, it would really help if you lost a bit of weight.
But you have to follow it up and explain why. That's a really big factor then as well.
But you'd be in the position to do that.
I would, yeah. And there's loads of topics that, like in healthcare, like sexual health, and there's loads
of
different areas.
We'll get into that
later. But like, there is a certain level of license that you have there, but kind of the person that's coming into you is nearly expecting to be asked some of those questions as well,
doesn't,
you know?
Seem as bad.
Yeah, there is that white coat syndrome, they call it.
So you should always tell your friends that. Johnny's still laughing. Lauren said the word sexual. He's like a child. He's just here like laughing his head off.
Laughing away. Yeah.
In order to fix your knee injury.
Okay, so let's move on from childhood obesity and how to tell your friends, you know, if they're struggling. I guess the big thing is like the price of being healthy and the time it takes to being healthy. This is a big one.
This is where we disagree. I don't think that if you, let's say you have a family now. Oh, hang on. If you have two adults, two kids, and the kids are like 10. Is it that much more expensive to eat healthy food than to eat shite? Right? Two adults, two kids. Wouldn't a half chicken fillet do a child?
Of 10?
Lauren?
Maybe not when he was 10 years old.
Half a turkey.
That would have been only a starter.
Let's just say, right? Okay, let's go 4 chicken fillets. That's €4, say. €1 chicken fillet.
Where are you buying them?
That's kind of the going rate. €1.25 for
you.
For, as a farmer butcher, it's €1.69.
Oh, lad.
Not a littler, Aldi.
Oh, yeah, I see. See, Johnny don't shop there.
I don't shop there, no.
Super value, €1.69 or 4 for €6. So you're getting 4 chicken fillets for €6. There you go.
Right. I know you can get them cheaper now. Okay, for €5, let's say you're getting the 4 chicken fillets for €5. For €5, you can get a bag of carrots, head of broccoli, and a few spuds. And you've got dinner for 4 people for tenner.
Yeah. My counter argument there would be, you're going to come home, going to peel the carrots, chop the carrots, boil the carrots. You're going to wash the spuds, peel the spuds, boil the spuds.
So are we agreeing that it's time and not price that drives people to unhealthy food?
Convenience, yeah.
Not price.
Yeah. Say like when I was working in the butcher counter now, you'd have like maybe families would come in and get the 4 chicken fillets and they'd be like, put them in a tray. Not in a plastic bag, so they can just fire the tray in the oven. You pop it out. That's one bit done. That's probably a little bit handier. No washing up. By the time you prep a dinner,
no tea, no wash up, straight out the door.
But you know, by the time you have all that done, that's eating into all your time. You're working, and people are working all the time. So I would say time is the killer.
In the 1980s in Ireland, 1 in 5 mammies worked. Now it's almost 60% of mammies are working. Time. It's like everybody has less time nowadays.
Time is money.
Yeah.
But we're only saying that. We think people are more materialistic. Like everybody is working and working hard.
Work is back in fashion.
Like in the boom. Remember we're saying, if you're in the boom, if you could earn €1,000 a week and be like,
jeez, I'm doing nothing, boys. What are you working at? Ah, sure, I'm up there, you know, I'm foreman, but sure, I'm not doing fuck all. And everyone's going, good man yourself, you're dead right, yeah. And now it's like, well, you're busy. Up the walls. Jesus, I'm working 20 hours a day, I'm only sleeping.
Oh, you're some man.
You're a great man. Jesus, fair play.
Jesus, so. I haven't seen the kids in the month, ladder. Flat out. Oh, go away. Oh, you're some hero, lad.
So you have to make the money, lads.
I have to make the money. Like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
This came in during the recession. It's the worst thing that ever happened in Ireland. Hard work got popular again.
Yeah.
Huh? That hasn't been in since De Valera's time.
I don't like the hard work. I suppose another thing to look at is like, with us working more and stuff like that, there's a lack of sleep. So people aren't sleeping enough. That can lead to weight gain. Stress. People are stressed after it. Everyone's stressed. There's kids of like 10 years of age who have anxiety. They're stressed. Everyone, the whole world is stressed. We all just need to take a chill pill, I think.
I think it comes back a little bit to money, Johnny. That it's like, now everyone has to have like a big house and 2 cars and the kids all want iPhones. Oh. Whereas like, if you go back to when we were kids, or more so even before that, people seem to, they all say they had nothing. But people seem to say that they were happy, and like, there's a lot more overweight people now than there was 30 years ago, even though food education has gone way up.
Yeah.
So it's like, our knowledge of food has gone up, but also our obesity levels have gone up.
Yeah, I was chatting to the mother about that. I was like, did you know stuff was bad for you? She was like, no. Like, she was like, sure, when you were 12, 13, like, we didn't know like white bread was bad for you.
But at the same time, though, you didn't have all these processed meals and that's burgers and McDonald's popping up everywhere.
There wasn't. I suppose, like,
I don't know, was it as easy?
Yeah, it wasn't as back, like, it's talking like it's 50 years ago, but back when I was like, yeah, 12, 13.
Deli's not that only came in the boom, like.
Yeah, chippers and stuff like that. Like, I know we owned one, but like, most families would have one every couple of weeks or something like that. You know, it'd be
once a week,
be seen as a novelty, like. Whereas now it's like, I'll just go down and just get a bag of chips handy, like, you know. So, and as you said, the knowledge, people, like, I don't know anybody who was gluten or lactose intolerant 20 years ago. But honestly,
it,
like,
I thought that gluten was some sort of bird.
Yeah, like, if you said, I have a load of chia seeds, they'd be saying, like, was there much of a buzz off them? So, do you know what I mean? Genuinely, like, that's how things have changed. People have more knowledge. They're eating all sorts. Ailments, like, everybody's sick. Like, oh, and we can't have dairy now, or lactose, or this or that, or can't have eggs, allergic to eggs. Just back then, everyone just ate what you were given.
You just died.
You just... You've just gone on with it.
I'm not slagging anyone who is, you know, has food allergies.
Or oh, no, like no, no, no,
that's
we're not. We're not
very serious. But it's true. Like, the first time that I heard lads saying, oh, you have to watch the white bread. It's like, you know, it's okay, but don't go mad in the white bread. The first time I heard that, I was probably 18.
Yeah.
20. And I was living with lads who were playing GA and we were trying to lose weight in January. And they were like, you just need to lay off the white bread now. And I was like, why? I didn't know that it was a thing, like. Yeah. And I gave it up, and I don't miss it.
No, no, no. Yeah, we always eat brown bread now and stuff. Yeah. But it's a habit as well. Once you, like, you know, people are like, no, I love me white bread. Like, you see old lads are,
oh, lads are
eating white bread there to bait the band, like. They can't get enough of it. They just won't have brown because...
One of our mates said his father eats a loaf of bread a day.
That's not good.
Along with his porridge, his eggs, his dinner, he swallows a loaf of bread a day. He's managed to get him from white to brown. But mother of God.
Yeah, that's scary. That's still a loaf of bread. Just to finish up our last point. People are less active. As I said, like, when we were young, we were out playing soccer. I was down to play a park, whatever. Now, it's phones.
Mm.
You know, my mother rang me. Can you give Abby a loan of your PS4? I said, why? She said, oh, she's bored. She wants to play it. I said, let her go out and climb a tree or something. Be nine, you know. But it won't happen. Like, I'll be giving her the PS4. That's for sure.
Because we're not using it.
Yeah.
We had planned to become YouTubers, but, you know.
If it all went belly up, we're just going to play FIFA online. So.
One more thing we talked about. When lads get a girlfriend, or the other way around.
Yeah.
Probably more so with lads. We'll throw this over to you in a sec. But when a lad gets a girlfriend, he can get comfortable, Johnny.
Yeah, for sure. You're up in her house during the Friday night. You're having your chili chips and your chicken satay. And then on the Saturday, you're having another takeaway with her. And maybe she wants Ben and Jerry's. And you're after eating a tub of Ben and Jerry's. And there you go. And you're probably not seeing your friends as much. You're not maybe playing sport or training as much. It kind of takes over your life. Particularly if you're that 15, 16, 17, where, like, you think love's forever. You know, and as a famous taxi driver said to me in Ross Gray, you think it's forever until you're in your bedroom listening to love songs. You know, very rare. You're going to be marrying them birds. But I would definitely say that, yeah. Maybe it's vice versa. It's the same with girls. Do you get a boyfriend? Do you get complacent? Do you fucking start?
I think it depends on the boy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, keep her on her toes, lad.
Well, no, I think like if in my experience, I'm an active person. If you're with someone that's very active as well, instead of going out for dinner in the evening, you might go for a walk, or you might be one of those couples that work out together. I've never been in
that. Whoa, jeez.
I've never done
it. Lauren, I know this is a comedy podcast.
But you know, like, you do see couples that go to the gym together. But like, if you're both in that mindset, then it might work the other way. And you might actually be motivated to eat healthily together. And, you know, I think it's a personality thing,
Johnny,
maybe.
It's true. If you're with a girl and she's like in great shape and healthy and all, and you're like, Saturday night, will we get a pizza? And she's like, no.
No, here's this vegetable frittata. I mean, I'd be out the door. Like, I don't care how hot you are, love. I'm not eating that on Saturday night.
And that's...
And that's what?
And that's why Johnny Smacks is gay.
All right, lads.
Oh,
so
no, one more. Going to college, watch yourselves.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing, the freshers stone. People go to college, you don't have mammy's dinners, you're drinking, you're not sleeping well.
If there's any parents listening, like,
just teach your kids to learn to cook.
Yeah,
or it's not that hard.
Like, my mum used to send me down with, like, two big massive bags full of shopping, like, and then she'd give me, you know, me spending money or whatever. Well, I had a part-time job, I didn't really need that, but, like, she'd send me down with the food, so at least she knew if I was getting off my mind drunk, I was eating anyway, because I had the bag of food. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, some parents would be like, there's €100 for, you know, make sure you do your shopping over there. And your man's going, yeah, I will, yeah.
Good one.
Six pot noodles and the rest is gone in Aldi vodka, like, so.
That's 98 cans of Galahad.
So I would definitely say watch yourself on that one, for sure.
Because we have it here, Johnny. Mm-hmm. About a quarter of Irish adults are obese.
Mm-hmm. Scary. And you see,
Mind yourselves, lads.
The knock-on effect is they're clogging up the HSE.
Well, there are some countries introducing the fat tax. Now, did you hear this?
No.
Yeah, there's some European countries. If you go in with, like, heart problems or problems brought on by your weight, and if your body fat and all is, like, massive, they'll be like, hey, this is self-inflicted, like, we're not covering the cost of this.
Mm.
Some European countries are actually looking into that.
Yeah, and, like...
Serious.
It's probably not a bad idea. And can we just finish by saying, lads, we're not body shaming anyone. You know, has anyone seen my body? You know what I mean? No, you know what I mean? Like, once people are happy and healthy and, you know, they're not sick or anything like that, I think that's what we're trying to get. Like, not everyone's going to have a six pack, like, yeah. Johnny. I know you do, but I don't.
This was a serious thing that when myself and Johnny gave up our jobs and became full-time Johnnies, and we found ourselves going out more.
Yeah.
In the first year of being full-time Johnnies, we both put on a stone.
Yeah.
Lifestyle changes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you go from, like, I went from being a butcher and Johnny a hurley maker, like, which are you're moving the whole time. You're constantly on your feet and stuff. And then you go from just sitting in a car. Like, I would say we spend a quarter of our time in a car.
Just cruising around town. Yeah. Sneering at young ones. That's your...
Doing laps, as they call it. But you know what I mean?
Doing laps in Max's green Civic.
The tin sled, the starlet.
Yeah.
But no, I would say, lads, look, that's not body shaming or anything like that. Stay healthy, stay happy.
Mind yourselves.
Lads, we are tired saying it for this segment. Pull over the car. If you're in the gym, put down the weights. If you're doing the shopping in the supermarket, I'd honestly leave. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! Are you young for that?
Well, Noel, how are you? It's good to have you here.
Where's the other one?
I think you've scared her away. What? You'd lad Lauren's here. Do you know Lauren?
I think I marked her father one time. He was with Claire, was he?
He might have been. Did he score off you?
What was his name?
Tommy.
Well, I think hurler would be a loose term. Tommy, he was more of a lumberjack. The other one is working, is she?
Yeah, flat out.
She have a real job.
Not like us, yeah.
Acting the fool all the time.
What's up? What have you got for us anyway this week?
Very sad news.
Oh, God.
Very sad news. From America. They're still pricks. Fact. No. The real life Super Mario has died. Yeah. Mario Segale, aged 84, from Washington. And he owned the building that Nintendo started working in. And he must have gave him a good deal for cash because they named Mario after him.
Right.
And he said he could have been famous, but he didn't want the attention. He was flat out working.
And did Mario look like him?
Not a bit. But the poor lad in the computer game is still going. He flat out.
Yeah.
Ate mushrooms, definitely. Did you ever play the game?
Yeah.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
My God. I thought if you couldn't drink it or ride it, you'd want to know. So, Mario, anyway, and the brother Luigi, right? Two gas fucking men. They're plumbers, right? They're plumbers. And they have to go down into the sewer and fight dinosaurs. On council wages. Huh? So the poor man, he baiting his yolk, like big turtles, the game, they come at him, right? And what's he baiting him with? A spanner. Fuck's sake, and they're coming at him. Like what I'd be coming at Carmel now with the horn. When I have the boot on me. So Mario the poor man. Anyway, I'm surprised the animal rights aren't on him now. Over sledging the turtles. He give them turtles some fucking doing. I'll tell you that now. He don't spare them. You couldn't have him getting out of the sewers though.
No.
Getting loose. Turtles getting loose around town. Get loose. So would there be money in turtles?
I wouldn't think so.
Pets for young lads.
Oh, maybe.
So they wouldn't do much.
Yeah.
I suppose they wouldn't be a great pet, would they?
No.
My lads all had ferrets. When you have to rear a family of ferrets in your bedroom, I'll tell you, you'll learn a lot about yourself. That was only all play acting. So see, in my day, there was no computer games. If you wanted to see a plumber fight a giant turtle, I don't know, I suppose you'd have to go to Tullamore. That sort of thing. Now, we had fighting, though, I'll tell you that. We had a fair bit of scuffling now. I'll tell you that. See, there was a shed out in Donovan's. And every second Friday coming, there used to be fights.
Every second Friday?
There'd be fights. And there were tough men. I saw the claw morn go 4 rounds with a badger. And bait him. The claw didn't care who you were. Man or beast. Once you came into the shed, you were there to duke. Right? So I came up against the claw in the final at a fight, and he was a tough man. His skin was 30% waven from so many years of his father baiting him with a waven pipe. So unless you got a direct hit, you'd slide off him. His father was tough by as well, the Budgie Morn. Tell you, when they were young, they were so poor, they couldn't afford spuds. They had 8 dandelions. And his face turned yellow. And that's where he got the nickname, the Budgie. At least they had dandelions. You should see what the Stone Murphy had to eat. Now, the claw was tough, but I was fast. We used to train the ferrets, right? We used to train with ferrets. And my mother, God be good to her, had a scullery. And as the old saying goes, if you can catch a ferret in a scullery,
what?
You can bait the claw. So anyway, I bet the claw in the final, and I was crowned king of the shed. I remember it well. I was nearly late for school. So poor old Mario, anyway. I think Luigi is at the timber, isn't he? Luigi Board. He opened the sawmills in Clarahan. So my second story of the week. Now, young fella, you know I have reservations about women drivers.
Yes, you mentioned it on the previous podcast and all that.
Yeah, no offence, Laura. But this week now, I tell you, I'm even have reservations about having women passengers.
Oh.
There was a Chinese bus in China. And you know who was on it? The Chinese. That's a fact. And the bus driver, Ran, that was his name. Do you remember him?
No, I know.
And he had a brother, Jog. And they were two fine footballers. Now, Jog was a bit lazy, in fairness now, but Ran was very good. And there was another one of them. A younger brother again, he's very good. Sprint.
Oh, gee.
Ran the man by, we used to call him. Ran the man by. He was driving his bus in Chongqing. Sounds a bit like John Quinn. The hurler from Anacarty. Great man. Remember John Quinn? The mighty Quinn? Oh, Laura.
Sorry now.
He played senior hurling for Anacarty until he was 52. Mm.
Very good.
Broke my record. Prick. See, I was out the field mixing it up. He was only in the corner. So, anyway, speaking of mixing and shaking things up, poor old Ran driving the bus. Didn't he miss a stop? And there was a woman passenger on the bus. She was supposed to get off and she went fucking stonewall berserk. She came up in front of the bus and started baiting Ran. I swear to God. Now, driving a bus out in China on the wrong side of the road, it's difficult enough without some queer one baiting over the head. She started baiting him with the phone. If there's one of them Nokia 3210s, I'd say he was dead. So, this bus crash happened in the Wanzhou district, and the woman has been named locally as 48-year-old Liu. L-I-U.
Liu?
I'm pronounced that so, you fucking fruit. You were sniggering at me now like a scaldy child all day. L-I-U, pronounce that.
Liu.
Liu, we'll go with Liu, right?
Liu.
So Liu, she was baiting him over the head, and when the bus going across a bridge at a time, and they went outside of the bridge, he crashed the bus, and they fell 50 metres, which is about 12 foot, down into a river, and God love him, the whole lot of them were killed. Honest to God.
Oh my God.
D-E-D. And I just want to say to the poor people out there, God bless you. I don't know, do they have God in China?
I'm not too sure.
They don't have Facebook.
Probably.
It's not the same thing. Yeah. You'd imagine if it was going, they'd have it. Like.
Yeah,
they have all the mod cons out there. Tin TK lemonade you're trying to get now or something. But, so God bless you, or not, or whatever you'd like.
Somebody bless you.
Yeah, it's a dangerous job reading the news and driving buses, I'll tell you that now. Onlooker said the bus was swerving and they thought he was on the drink. Like our local bus driver. He'll be accused of sometimes. Now, Laura, we have a lad driving bus in town. I'm not going to name any names. We'll just call him Dinny Whelan.
We won't call him Dinny Whelan, no.
Last time I was on a bus, 1989, the brother Stag chased me and my doll out. We had a wild weekend. We went to Ferret, right? And I shouted to Dinny, "Hey, wake up." And he said, "I was only resting my eyes." And I said, "No bother. Would you mind doing it when we're not on a dual carriageway?" So that's buses for you now, lads. And just our commiserations to Ran and all the poor lads in China. And just fucking go handy when you're on the bus. Don't be a 90 driver, okay? Now, my local story. I've been thrown out.
Oh.
Of
the Junior B Championship.
Oh, God.
Our little club has been ejected from the championship. You know, we were in the South Final.
Yeah.
I told a story about the semi and the drawn game. Now, the replay was fixed. And we broke some sort of rules. I don't know. I don't understand this. So we got a notification from the county board. And I just want to take this opportunity to contact the county board. So this is an open letter to the county board.
Oh my God.
To whom it may concern, you shower of pricks. When I received your letter of notification yesterday, to say the least, I was vexed. You don't want to see me vexed. I and my management team, Dermot O'Sullivan, Turnip Casey, Sledge Heffernan, and of course the illustrious Cake O'Brien, who has signed this letter from his hospital bed, where he is suffering from chronic obesity. We are highly insulted by these allegations of misconduct against us and our Junior B team. They are completely false and an affront to our club. I had 16 to media team playing. The rematch fixed for 6 p.m. Saturday, a disgraceful time to have a game, is the highlight of the GAA calendar. Our team, who have been training hard once a month for 2 months have earned the right to compete for a South title, etching their name into the history books like the great men who have come before us in our club. Legends of the game like Badger Hayes, Pockets Maguire, the Maloney twins, Mick and Pat and George. Men like the great Fish Lonergan and his brother Sprat.
That's true.
The priest and Christian brothers who did so much work to promote the game in our parish. Brother Fenton in the intermediate final of 52 killed a man. See, you couldn't send off a priest in those days.
Oh, I actually feel dizzy.
Touchy Fahey, the school teacher who insisted on coaching the juvenile teams, such was his love for the game, he was actually found dead. Stabbed to death by his own under 12 team. As manager, I'm reading my letter here. As manager, I lead these men. I collect them from house parties on Sunday mornings. I bring them hurleys and footballs. When they get hurt and fall down, I tell them get up to fuck. I show these men how to play the game, how to double on the ball, how to break a man's arm and get away with it, how to strike the ball on both sides, when there's a kick out, how to get loose, how to abuse referees and officials, and not to forget the umpires. They're pricks as well. My own personal disciplinary record, which is exemplary, bar the skirmish of 99, which resulted in the FCA being called.
The FCA.
In my defense, my pace was gone. So I have to call into question the integrity and experience of the board. As my selector Turnip would say, what do you know about it? We insist ye immediately reinstate us into the South Junior B Championship with immediate effect, or I shall personally attend the next county board meeting, and I don't need to tell ye, it'll be a fair fucking shake up at it. If I have to call to each and every one of your houses to canvass and cajole ye down the barrel of a Remington 1187 12 gauge single action shotgun, Mr. Chairman, then so be it. What's that? Best wishes, Noel.
So you think that's going to work, Noel?
Yeah, well, I'm on first name basis, like DJ. I can just sign it Noel, and they'll know what the crack is.
So you reckon that letter is going to get you back in the Junior B Championship?
Well, I just had to get it off my chest. I have to stand up for my men.
Good man, good man. So will we know the outcome by next week's?
Please, God, yeah.
Good man.
Don't say anything about six lads off the intermediate team.
I won't open me out, no.
Anyway, I must go away. I have to feed the ferrets.
See you later, Noel. Thank you.
Good luck.
All right, with Mara away due to work commitments and after the Sparrow solid display last week, the mystery topic is in the hands of a Clare woman. Oh, Lord help us. It's a first for her this week, so give her a chance. Please take it easy on us. Lauren, what's your mystery topic this week?
Okay, so over the next 5 to 6 weeks, there's going to be lads and ladies walking aimlessly around shops trying to purchase gifts for their significant other. We're not going to talk about the big day, the C word.
Okay.
But, because it is too early.
Mm-hmm. We agree.
But the listeners of this podcast, I'm sure, would like to hear your guidelines for gift buying.
Oh,
how much are we spending? When is it appropriate to buy and not to buy?
Okay.
When is a present not appropriate? I think it's a good time to tackle this subject because now they've 5 weeks to go and think about what you've said.
Inappropriate presents. The time I bought the fader lingerie.
You shouldn't have gotten the gimp mask anyway. Inappropriate presents. I guess when you're buying presents, if you're buying them for the significant other, I would say, if you don't have her sister's number, get it. You know, for the fellas anyway, particularly.
Yeah.
And vice versa, you know.
Get some help.
You know, yeah, get some help, I would say.
get on to the siblings or best friends and just ask them. It's just easier.
Is that a bit lazy though?
It is, but she doesn't need to know. she or he doesn't need to know that, I would say. That's been my approach. Sure, nobody will know. No one listens to this, do they?
Yeah. If you know, we did have an episode where I explained my theory on buying presents. I'm not big on it. I'm not big on presents. I'm not main. I'm a little bit main.
But what happens if Christmas comes up and you're given a present from your significant other and...
Oh, I'm sure that's left happened.
Then what's going
to
happen?
No, like if you can see it coming, if you can smell a present coming, you have to go out and get them a good one.
Yeah.
But what are the signs? What do we need to be looking out for?
Like now, lads, you should be... Yeah. If you're going out with someone for ages, you can probably just say like, well, what's wrong for Christmas?
Yeah.
Or come to some sort of agreement like... Do you know, last year we both spent a heap of money. We got carried away.
Let's go on a holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe broach the topic.
Yeah.
Early days. Kind of come to an agreement.
Yeah. I think a holiday always works. So you kind of say like, look, we won't buy each other anything for Christmas. You see, this is the thing.
She'd be like, oh, I won't buy you. Yeah. And then she'd buy the fucking stuff.
Yeah. We won't buy each other anything for Christmas. Yeah. And then you're like, Grant, sure, we'll go on the holiday. So yeah, that's fine. Whack. Out of the boot comes a big massive box. You're just going, oh, Jesus Christ. Get on. Here's a potted plant. I don't know. So I would say, I just say it openly. Just say like, look, as Johnny said, it depends on how long you're with them.
Mm.
If it's only a new thing. Like, have you ever been bought something now by a fella that you weren't actually in a relationship with? Like a fella just rock up with a present like at Christmas.
I wish that was the case. No. You're fellas, more than welcome. Send them here.
Get the debit cards out, lads. Get the debit cards out. No, I think... If you're going with them a while, just be like, look, is there anything you want? You know, or whatever.
But what happens if you're only seeing someone, things aren't official, next couple of weeks? Do
link
you
set.
Or don't you?
Just get a link set or something. Isn't that the Link's classic Africa. Present? Yeah, the Africa sets like.
If you're going with someone like, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, like you're kind of seeing each other, but not major like, then I would say...
You would say don't get him a present.
No. Get him something just to cover yourself.
Yeah.
But don't get something mad expensive. Mm-hmm. You can get something clever and thoughtful, ideally.
I'd be like, buy him something, and if they don't get you anything, just give it to your mother. So buy something that can be given to somebody else as a gift.
Here's perfume.
Well, the thing is, if you're only going out a couple of months and you want it to last, then I would buy them something.
Mm.
That's very true.
If it's just she calls over... Ding boom, dong, you're
boom,
up,
boom.
Boom boom with the bridesmaids and you're out the gap, I'd be saying, you're an old Kinder Egg or something. I'm not great at gifts and I don't particularly, I'm not going to say I don't like getting them. What I don't like getting is surprises. I hate surprises because that's when you have to fake it.
What?
It's like, I got you a surprise, and then they're like, oh, you open it up, and like, or if somebody says to you, I got you a surprise, but I'm not telling you. That ruins my life. I'm just sitting at home going, oh, Jesus, what is it now? I wonder what that is.
What the fuck?
Anxiety levels spike. I'm just thinking, what is it? And then, like, you've got it built up in your head. You're like, oh, it's going to be a great surprise. And then you open it and you're like, oh, unreal. A bottle of Pack or a Ban. I already have two of them. So, you know what I mean?
You don't like surprise Christmas presents?
Yeah. Or don't like being told about surprises. Yeah, I don't really like surprises. Just get me something I want.
But it's hard to shop for other people.
Yeah.
Like most people, like if when it comes to Christmas now, I don't think we got each other out last year, did we?
No, you specifically said to me, here, we're not doing like, you know, getting each other presents and shit like that. It's just, there's no point. I was like, fair enough. And then for my birthday, Maura got me a yoke, and then you were like, I didn't get you out now last year. We don't do presents, so. We've just never done presents.
It takes away a bit of fun though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
we might do this Christmas.
Yeah, but...
Look, Secret Santa. No, I wonder who each one's going to get. Yeah.
Well, if we could put like rules on it. Like you have to get each other something, but it has to be... Like make it fun, like a game.
Okay.
You have to pay between like 19 and 25 euro for it. Or like it has to have been made in 1996. Or like, put some mad rule on it. Like.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that.
But if you're going out with someone, you're going to have to get them something decent.
Yeah.
And then what happens then when it's no longer boyfriend, girlfriend, you're maybe into marriage, wife, there's kids there.
Oh,
when
she'll
does
want
the
his
presents
money.
Stop?
When do
they stop?
They can't stop.
But then we have to prioritize things like Santa and Santa's lists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you don't get the ride off Santa.
No day in a spa or a hotel or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably a good one. At that age, like, it's something that you both enjoy.
When it gets to, like, you have kids and all that, maybe you should get her something that she'd like, but she wouldn't get herself that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Because she'd be like, oh, I can't justify, like, taking the day off or whatever. And you'd be like, go on, you deserve it. Have a day off. Mm. And it's not even the money. It's just like the
thought of it. Thought of it, yeah.
Keeping the good books as well. Do you know what I mean? And plus, as you said there, Arne, if people stop getting each other gifts and that, isn't the whole spark gone out? Then it's just like, you know, you're only going through the motions. You're probably just whipping because you're just whipping so long you don't know any different.
Well, I suppose you're going to have to try and stay romantic a little bit, aren't you?
That's it, man. You got to keep the spark. I would say to anyone, though, just do it online. Just do online shopping.
But the problem with online shopping is, where do you send it?
Never even thought of that.
Yeah.
There you go. Get an old pair of Ugg boots or something. They come to the door, some fella from DPD. Oh, what a joss.
They're for me, ma'am. Yeah.
They're for me, ma'am. Huh? Pair of Ugg boots.
See, when the pressure comes on, if you don't have that in bought and it's Christmas Eve, then you're just like, take all my money.
Have you ever been that kind of person?
Yeah.
Christmas Eve running around the shop.
Got caught.
You see, Bear probably last year, like, to be honest, like, I don't have much to buy, but, like, I guess I've worked in retail all my life, bar, like, say, last year, because we were gone full-time as Johnny's. And I worked...
Go on.
Fuck. And I worked all my life in retail, so I would only get a chance on Christmas Eve. Or else, like, do it in November, but, like, I never had a penny, so... There was never going to be any shop. I'd be waiting for, like, the Christmas bonus. Come on, buy a few presents, over, like, so... Last year was the first year I was probably a little bit organised and stuff. So I'm getting organised already this year, like. Text me sister. I was like, what you want? Sent me on a pair of pink Predators. Fucking price them. I'll get the old €35 version of them. Or
oh, the airport in Lanzarote. You know, yeah. Some knockoff. we said we wouldn't talk about the C word, but in fairness, it's a good topic because now is the time to probably start thinking about it.
Definitely.
Do you know what would be great now? You should all go on to, like, thetwojohnnies.ie and you can buy, like, limited edition mugs and t-shirts. Great present.
Yeah, they're a fantastic really present. Yeah. Actually, last year I actually ended up buying a couple of myself to give to people. You think I'd be getting them for free? Like?
Definitely thinking you got them for free.
Yeah. Nah, I actually went and bought.
I'm the same. I bought, like, all my family Two Johnnies merch.
No, as if you don't see enough of me, here's my face on a t-shirt.
Yourself, Lauren, you got an opinion on this?
I think you know when you need to buy something for someone. But I think it's nice to set out rules.
Yeah.
Don't like the big secret Santa kind of thing, because you get someone you don't really know and you're buying them something pointless, a pair of socks, a voucher. I hate vouchers for Christmas.
What? That's
really, really bad idea. So unthoughtful.
Was that like in an office scenario or something?
So in an office scenario or in school or something like that.
I like what you're saying about vouchers, though.
They're a really lazy present.
I've got my mother a voucher every year since I've been 18.
So lazy. But I suppose if you're really bad at buying presents, then it's probably a safe option. But
tell you what is a good option. Money.
So unthoughtful.
But everyone loves money.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Here's a big makeup set after buying it, like, or something like that.
And it's not the exact
one.
And
it's not the right one. Or here's fucking €150.
But that's what receipts are for. Keep your receipts.
Yeah, that is true.
What do you do with the receipt then?
You keep it if they... Or you can give it, like, wrap it in as part of the present and say, oh, the receipt's there just in case.
Then they'll know how much you paid for
gift receipts.
No, you can get gift receipts at Christmas.
There you go. Gift receipts.
Everywhere from now on is going to be offering gift receipts.
So, lads, our advice is get buying now. Do you know what I mean? Get the bargains. Prices be inflated at Christmas as well.
Background research in as well.
There you go.
And, if you just started seeing someone, you don't want to go all out. And then they're like, I got you, like... a hoodie, and you're like, oh, class, I spent like €1,000 on you.
Get a memento, a nice thoughtful memento.
Exactly, and just to finish off, if you are just starting to see someone now, I'd say call it off to Jenny. Save yourself a few pounds. Lauren, love that.
Wait till after Valentine's anyway.
Lauren, we love that mystery topic. Fair play. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's #2. Johnny's Pod, JohnniesPod, to get in touch on all social media platforms. And rob your friend's phone, download it for them too if they haven't already listened to it. And of course, you'll get us on Instagram and Snapchat
at Johnny B Tipman, at Johnny Smacks. It's as simple as that.
Do you want to give out your Instagram or something? No, it's up to you.
I can if people want to, you know, have an old creep.
People are nosy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just at Lauren_Guilfoyle on Instagram.
I wasn't going to use the word creep, but that's fine.
That's what you do on social media.
Exactly.
Oh, is that like the modern term for searching?
It is. Oh, creeping, yeah.
Oh, I thought creeping had like sinister undertones.
Nah.
Not on social media.
Nah, okay. There you go. Lauren summed it up there.
Very good.
From The Feel to Michael Collins, we have been treated to some absolute classic Irish films over the years, so now it's time to settle the debate once and for all as we list our top 5 greatest Irish films of all time. Johnny B.
So, do you want me to go through my top 5 now?
Yeah, go on, man. Yeah, like we're good. This is going to be crazy because people will be just online all week just saying, hey, you left out such and such. They're still giving me the sports films from a few weeks ago. So now we're on to the Irish ones. Johnny, kick us off.
First of all, lads, we haven't seen them all.
Yeah.
We did our best to watch Irish movies in the run up to this, but I'm not really sure about the order in which I have these, but I do have
you're already dancing around this now.
I have my top 5. Okay, number 5, The Field. It's class. No, see, it's hard to assess something when the book has been so successful.
Yeah, okay.
Because you're talking about what kind of an impact did this have on Ireland. But like, the book and the play, we did it in school. So like, do I know all the words from watching the movie? Or what? But the one thing about this movie, it is kind of dated.
Yeah.
It's quite dated badly. But Richard Harris as the Bull McCabe, one of the iconic performances of an Irish actor ever, Johnny. He's so good. You would just watch him being the bull all day. He keeps the movie ticking.
Fair enough.
He's that good as the Bull McCabe. Like every town has a bull.
Oi, oi.
Will I go on or do you want one of yours? No, go on.
Yeah, go on.
Intermission.
Oh, yeah. That's also in mine.
Okay, you can talk about that. Just great film. In third place, I'm going out the front door with Jerry.
You're an innocent mom, innocent. Jerry.
My father died at number 3 in the charts. He died. Name of the Father.
In the Name of the Father. What a film. Also on my top 5, Johnny.
Oh, come on, the story of Jerry Conlon.
I've never seen that, Lauren.
I'm not sure. Am I just really young? But I've only heard of The Field.
Well, The Field is older than...
Hold on, you never seen Intermission?
Never heard of it.
Ah, I'm here to... where the fuck?
Get out the door.
And what was the last one?
In the Name of the Father. Now, in fairness, that was released in 1993.
And I've only saw The Field once last year. I don't know, maybe.
In the Name of the Father got nominated for 7 Oscars.
When, though? When?
1993.
I was born in 95.
That's not my problem.
You haven't seen Intermission?
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, you're in for a treat, Lauren, after this podcast.
Give me a list here. Yeah. I'll take your list afterwards and watch them.
Colin Farrell
is in Intermission, yeah.
That's like his biggest movie.
Cillian Murphy as well. Peaky Blinders.
And Colomini.
Yeah, Colomini. So In the Name of the Father, Johnny.
Yeah, at number 2, The Wind That Shakes the Barley. Have you heard that?
I've heard of it. I just haven't seen it.
Ah, come on.
You sure you're Irish?
That's also Cillian Murphy, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's class in it.
Mm.
I think everyone was kind of saying, oh, it's so horrific, and then I just didn't ever watch it.
It is graphic enough now.
It is, yeah. It's the most modern one. It's from 2006, the most modern film in my top 5. It's a bit gritty, you know. When you're comparing it to other Irish movies, you're probably going to compare it to Michael Collins because of the subject matter.
Yeah.
It's a lot less cinematic. When you're watching Michael Collins, you know you're watching a big budget movie.
Yeah.
Mm.
But The Wind That Shakes the Barley,
it's authentic.
More, yeah. They never leave the parish. It's like the whole story of the Irish Revolution and they never leave like this parish. There's really strong dialogue in it and Cillian Murphy, he's crying all at one stage and you'd be like, oh, lad.
You're getting the shotgun out.
Oh, no. Well, it's a tough film in several ways. Yeah. The themes... That, and there's a big discussion in it about like socialism and capitalism and all that. It's pulling from all different angles, beautifully shot, the colours, the tones of it, and a sensational performance by Cillian. And Liam, is it your man who's in Game of Thrones as well? He's brilliant.
Oh yeah.
Number 1, Commitments.
Yes, we agree on something. There you go.
Sorry, I've heard of it, haven't seen it.
What TV at in Clare like?
Much to do. We don't need to be inside watching movies.
Have you telly and VCRs down
have
there?
Have you the interweb?
We do. Commitments. I have no excuse. I'm sorry.
They're on the north side of Dublin and they form a soul band. Mustang Sally.
That song.
I've heard of that somewhere. Yeah.
My one issue with the Commitments is that the songs aren't original.
They're still unreal though.
Yeah, but if you look at like all, you know, a lot of the great musicals and music films, they have an original score. Like we were raving about A Star Is Born recently.
Yeah. Oh, that is unreal.
But the Commitments is really the Irish version of the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, it's class.
It has like a lot of classic numbers in it, like Try a Little Tenderness. Yeah. Oh, so good. Take Me to the River.
We were listening to that in the car a few weeks ago, actually.
Yeah. So the Commitments is just such a great story. It's gritty, but it's fun. Mm. It's so quotable. The acting performances are brilliant. It's really authentic. Like, it's in, you see a horse in the lift in Ballymun. The accents are accurate. They go to the markets on Moore Street. It's really accurate.
Good musicians. Glenn Hansard's in it.
Yeah.
Hmm. And Andrew Strong. No, she's
I'm going to have to watch it.
You're going to have to watch it on six. You're going to have to watch it on six films. Me.
Where's Moore when you want
to? Shots fired.
No, that's in the Commitments. Really, are you into musicals at all, Laura?
No.
Laura.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, Noel was
creeping in there.
Creeping in there. Not really, no.
Not really.
Smacks, you're a big musicals man.
Yeah, as you'll see from the top five.
Oh, shit.
Is there Irish musicals?
Oh.
The Commitments.
Yeah, the Commitments is one. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
He's got another one up his sleeve.
I got another one up my sleeve. Right, so listen, right, my top five. I'll get panned because I think differently than most people probably. Like, Johnny's giving the top five there and all the lads are like, yeah, proper top five. Whereas I'll probably be more in line with the females here, I'd say, in my choices. First of all, I couldn't do a top five.
Shit.
I just couldn't condense it down. So gone for a top six. Is that all right?
Go on.
Is that acceptable? All right. Number six, the first of the Barrytown trilogy. Not the first to be released, but, or is it? Yeah, maybe it is. 97% it got on Rotten Tomatoes, which is like the highest movie rate in New York, on the line. 97% it got. Story by Roddy Doyle is part of the Barrytown trilogy, as I already said. Sharon Curley gets pregnant and all the problems that go from that in the 90s. I am, of course, talking about The Snapper. Have you seen The Snapper?
It was on TV3 last weekend and I saw bits of it.
Yeah, an absolute Irish classic. Again, so quotable. Snip, snip, Mr. Burgess.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
There's a great scene when he rides around the bonnet of a car and then says, A1 Sharon.
A1 Sharon.
Yeah. It's grim.
It is. It's grim, but I guess it sums up Ireland at that particular time, you know.
It's got a lot of heart.
Yeah, it has. It's and of course, Colm Meaney is in it. He's probably in all the films I'm about to list now.
Georgie Burgess.
Yeah, when he comes in and she's after having a child, he's sitting down and it's like 8 pounds or 8 pounds, 8 ounces. And then an old lad just goes, is that a turkey or a baby? It's a great film. The Snapper's at number six. Number five, Johnny, you already had it in your top five, In the Name of the Father. 1993, directed by Jim Sheridan. As you said, it was Oscar nominated 7 times, including Best Actor, Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress. 94% had gotten Rotten Tomatoes. And of course, it is the story of Jerry Conlon, who was wrongly imprisoned for the Guildford pub bombing.
Mm.
And he obviously got charged. It's an amazing story. It's based on a true story. It's real life. And it's harrowing, but it's great. Daniel Day-Lewis is unbelievable in it. If you haven't seen that film, check it out, In the Name of the Father. That's at number five. Number four, this will probably divide a few people now. Sing Street.
Yes.
Oh! Yeah, there
yes.
you go. Finally.
Now I can talk.
Oh my God, we finally got one. Released in 2016, it's the story of a 14-year-old growing up in the 80s Ireland in a CBS. He goes to school in a CBS. Mm. And we all know they're not much crack. It's a love story as well. It touches the heart, lads. Now, this film, I went to see it 3 times in the cinema.
Whoa.
Yeah, I nearly bawled my eyes out. And like the third time I knew what was happening. But as you said, Johnny, it's got all original songs.
Yeah.
And the song at the very end was wrote and performed by Adam Levine. Yeah. Is he Avril Levine's brother?
Cousin.
Oh, I was telling people.
And they're both a relation of Alanis Morissette.
Wow.
No.
So there you go, lads.
They're like the musical Doolies.
Lauren, you seen Sing Street?
It is so good. It's I didn't brilliant. See it until it was on Netflix. I hadn't heard about it.
All right.
Really, really good soundtrack though.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
You liked it? No.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, it's young lads in school start a band and they go through all different phases. They're kind of an 80s band. They're listening to Duran Duran. Then they get more like rocky.
Bowie, that kind of stuff.
It's really good.
It is class. And like there's a particular highlight where little red haired lad who's like managing the band, I'm going to say, and they go to the flats and there's like, your man's like, you got to get a colour guy in the band. And it's like, why? And he's like, because they're great in instruments. And so Little like goes to the only colour guy's house he knows, like, and he answers the door. And your man is like, do you want to be
in a band. And then your man's like, the fuck you taunting like that for? It's brilliant. It's a great film. I definitely recommend it. Sing Street, that's a number four. Number three, my second inclusion from the Barrytown trilogy by Roddy Doyle, The Van. Released in 96, two best friends set up a chip van. You can see why I like it straight away. Set up a chip van during the World Cup in 1990. And again, captures Irish life in around that time. Like, I love chatting to people. My old manager in Supervalue, Finbar, he'd always tell me about like the 1990 World Cup and all the great memories. So it comes in perfectly into that. Some cast as well. Do you remember Billy Meehan, who was in Fair City? The baddie, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. Brendan O'Carroll is in it. And it's got some great quotes, like.
It's very quotable.
It's probably one of the most quotable Irish films. As in, like, there's a fella comes up to order, and Colm Meaney is behind the counter. He's like, "What do you want?" And your man's like, "World peace. You're bad." it's brilliant. Again, that's number three. Number two, Intermission. Lauren, I don't know how you haven't seen this. Like, yeah. It is unreal. Cillian Murphy, Colin Farrell, Colm Meaney, unreal characters. And there's a great one. Like, there's a girl in it, and she's like, she's got a mustache kind of on her, like. And then, like, everyone's like, "Oh, you've got Ronnie." And then for the whole film, she's like, "I don't have a Ronnie." And then at the end, she's like, "Do I have a Ronnie?" And she blatantly does. And there's lads putting brown sauce in tea, something I'll never.
Intermission is an interesting one because, as well as being real funny, like all the Barrytown movies, it's quite cleverly shot. And all the stories interlap, like a Tarantino movie.
It's kind of like a gritty, funny Love Actually. Like, you know, everyone's kind of intertwined, the characters, but still kind of separate.
And each story has its own theme.
And yeah. Does it all come together at the end? Does everyone kind of mix together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without giving too much away.
Yeah, we don't want to give it away. And my number one, Johnny, were Boughton Agreements. The best of the Barrytown trilogy, I'm going to say. And the last one on the list, The Commitments, released in 1991. Dublin Soul, man.
Take me to the river!
There's not much more I can say about it, Johnny, that you haven't already said. Like, some of the characters are unreal. Joy the Lips Fagan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? God sent me, brother. On a fucking Suzuki.
Yeah.
There's some, again, it's very quotable, but it's brilliant. If you haven't seen The Commitments, like Lauren hasn't, you need to get out there. You need to check it out. That is mine and Johnny B's best Irish film of all time.
Honourable mentions?
Yes. Before, you see, what happens if we don't give honourable mentions is people will abuse the life out of us during the week. Yeah, so go on, John.
Hunger. Mick Fassbender. You know him?
I know him. Haven't seen the movie.
Right, that's okay. He plays Bobby Sands. And it's a very unusual movie. It's more like a play. In that it starts off real gritty and all that. And there's not much dialogue. It's just lads like in the H block. And the whole thing builds up to this one scene where himself and the parish priest have a debate. Because he's kind of saying, "Look, I'm going to go on hunger strike and I might die." And himself and the priest have it out. And the scene is about 14 minutes long. And for most of it, there's no edits.
Wow.
They just sit there and have it out over and back. And it's really grabs you in a whole movie that was so chop, 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 chop. Builds up to this one scene and he's great in it. Into the West, Michael Collins, the General, Johnny. General is so well
black
shot.
And white.
Yeah. My Left Foot, of course, he got an Oscar for that, Daniel Day. And just one left field one. I enjoyed Perrier's Bounty with Cillian Murphy and Brendan Gleeson.
I wasn't on that at all.
That's funny.
I don't know. I just can't take the Brendan Gleeson. He's great, but in fairness, I'm not particularly gone on Colm Meaney, but he's in four films in the top six there. Like, so.
He's your man from Star Trek.
Yeah. Right, my honourable mentions. Into the West, as Johnny said, Tato, that's a great film.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah. What's childhood?
Two young lads from the travelling community, like, get a horse.
Where did you see all of these films? Were they in the cinema? Were they on telly?
It's a classic.
Are they on Netflix? If they're not on Netflix, probably I can't promise anything.
You're a millennial. You're a proper a millennial. Snowflake.
This is two kids. They're trying to find the land of Tiernan Og on a white horse.
I've heard the story and thought there was a movie.
Well, we'll put that in the list, Lauren, for you to watch during the week. My other honourable mention is Man About Dog.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's
brilliant. Like, absolutely brilliant. That's a great show. Song for a Raggy Boy.
I had to
mention it because it's such a good film, but it is fucking grim. It's really, really grim.
You wouldn't want to have anything to do afterwards.
No, yeah. It, honestly, I was actually, almost physically sick at the end of it. But
I'm seeing a bit of a trend here.
Yeah.
All these Irish films are very grim.
A lot of them are grim, yeah. That's fair enough.
But I think Irish people like a bit of truth. If it's too shiny, like it's all Hollywood shite.
Yeah.
We like a bit of realness.
Like the hard edge.
Bit of grit. War of the Buttons is another one.
That's a tough film.
It is another tough film, yeah.
Well, it is at the end when they get thrown into the Christian Brothers.
Veronica Guerin.
Oh, lad.
You know, at the end when the child sings the song.
Oh, lad.
Tears are flowing down my face. Young Offenders.
Yes. was waiting for this.
Yeah, there you go. Honourable mention. I'll throw it in there. Young Offenders. The biggest star in the Young Offenders film, we said earlier on, Johnny, was Cork. It makes Cork look absolutely beautiful. Like, now, in fairness, like when they head out the coast and stuff, it is lovely down that part of Cork. But the city, it's so well shot and everything, and it's just brilliant. And the story's good as well. It's brilliant.
The two lads have such chemistry. They're brilliant.
They're so good.
They're a great duo.
The series is brilliant.
They're
as well.
One of Ireland's best on-screen duos.
On-screen.
Lauren, any movies you want to mention?
I think you've mentioned all the ones that I've seen anyway.
Yeah.
Another mention for Handsome Devil.
Handsome Devil.
I really like that film. I was not expecting it to be anything at all. I just flicked it on. It's a film about a boarding school in Dublin, South County Dublin,
Very
I think.
Very posh boarding school.
And basically two guys that aren't friends bond over rugby. And really gripping storyline.
Sounds shit, but it's not.
But it's really good. It's a really feel-good film.
I haven't seen that, so I'll check that out.
It is Handsome very Devil. Good.
All right, so that's our top five, lads. We hope you enjoyed them. Johnny, anything else to add?
I just wanted to give an honourable mention to Gabriel Byrne. He didn't make it into my list, but he's a deadly actor. The Usual Suspects. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that, no.
I'm just going to stay there silent over here.
There is no Kaiser Sose. He's class. Peter O'Toole, I'm claiming him as Irish. He's savage, lad.
Okay.
And Daniel Day-Lewis, he won three Oscars, and one of them is for a movie called There Will Be Blood. Not an Irish movie, an American movie, but he is so good in it. Mm-hmm. It's worth seeing.
Well, if you're giving honourable mentions on actors, you can't forget Liam Neeson, man.
Yeah.
He bet this shit around 600 lads in the three Taken films. That deserves it, and he's in Love Actually. One of my greatest films of all time. We'll probably get to touch on Christmas films at some point. But
Morris said he was pure sound.
Yeah, he's sound as well. Liam Neeson, by there you have it. So that's our top fives, lads. Hope you enjoyed it. Of course, get in touch with us during the week. Tell us what we've missed and tell us your top fives. A lot of people just like messaging and just going, you forgot such and such. Actually, give us your top fives, lads. We will actually read them out. Okay, on to our yurt or dirt of the week. This is the part of every podcast where the two Johnnies give our highlight and lowlight of the week. Johnny B, do you want to kick us off?
My dirt of the week, I was on Instagram. Una Healy was at a wedding in Glenavarlo. And never rang us. She has us on Instagram. She posted a photo. The Glenavarlo Hotel, Lauren, is 14 miles from here. I commented on
it. You were just waiting for the call.
Did you comment on it?
I commented on her photo going, sound for the text.
Did she reply?
No.
She
left me on red, lad.
Oh, lad. Burn.
So, if you're listening and not happy.
That's your dirt of the week. Okay, my dirt of the week is, a woman was awarded $550,000 after falling off the Lewis while tram surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, bear in mind, she was 13 at the time or whatever. She's now 20. But, like, how can you get $550,000 for tram surfing? Is this the sort of country now we are, like? Mm. That is unreal. Now, they're saying the driver should have been able to stop. The fuck? Like, the parents should be getting charged. Like, it was actually the parents who sued for the $550,000. It was their child who was tram surfing. Unreal.
I feel bad that, like, she got hurt. And,
yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah, like.
But
$550,000.
You do something stupid.
Yeah.
What do you
You're
expect?
You're playing with fire.
Taxpayers' money, lads. We're probably funding that $550,000.
And the Lewis had to install all this shit over the doors now that you can't grab onto them anymore.
Yeah, absolutely mad. And also, my other dirt was Kyle Hayes not getting an All-Star. Got a young hurler of the year, not an All-Star. I don't really get that.
Who got it in his position?
Well, Joe Canning got the centre forward one, but I'm sure they could have slotted him in somewhere else, like, as they do with the football lads. Like,
what I thought was interesting, though, just to briefly mention, but Dara Fitzgibbon was nominated for Young Player, so was Kyle Hayes. Dara got an All-Star,
yeah,
but apparently he wasn't good enough for Young Player, and Kyle was good enough for Young Player, but didn't get an All-Star.
She was just trying to please everyone, like.
Yeah, but I, do you know what I mean? Like, to be fair, he was exceptional all year. I thought he definitely
deserved
an All-Star.
Yeah, but then one of them, they both got one award each. Mm. So you're saying one fella should have got two and the other fella should have got none.
But if you're good enough to be an All-Star, then why weren't you good enough to beat the guy that didn't get the All-Star?
They're just bending the rules to keep two lads happy instead of one.
But you have to remember as well, though, those Young Player and Player of the Year are voted for by the players. The other ones are voted for by the journalists.
Ah.
Not the same selection committee.
There you go. You got to keep them all happy. Johnny, your yurt of the week.
Our song, Junior B All-Star, was played in Coppers during the week. And I got several Snapchats of people.
That's great. I was there while it was being played. Now, in fairness, I went up to the DJ, right? And I was like, can you play a Raxu? Raxu, the like band who won X Factor, right? They have a new song out. Freak. And it's like unreal, right? And I was like, can you play that? And he was like, oh, you're a man from Two Johnnies. I'll play your song. I was like, no. Jesus, don't. Like, it looked like I asked you to play it. And he was like, no, I will. I was like, no, will you just play a Raxu? And he was like, I don't have it. And I was like, grand. I was like, don't play our song now because it looked like I asked you. Walk back down to the lads, and I was like, the song started playing. I was like, oh my god, people are going to think I went up and asked for it. But yeah, it went down well all the same. I did have a little boogie to it. My yurt, go on.
One, a lad, he's come to a couple of our gigs, Pat Trout. That's his real name.
Yeah, yeah.
And he lives near Drumkeen. And he told us that one night we were coming home from a gig in Limerick, and I pulled in to Drumkeen where the ballroom used to be, and I was doing a bit of Snapchatting because it's now a shop called Furniture Man. And I was slagging him that he sounds like a shit superhero, like Furniture Man. And he said as soon as I posted it, he happened to be at home and saw it, and he hopped into the Cortina and flew down to the Cross to try and meet us. And we were just gone.
Ultimate fan.
Yeah, super fan. So just, how are we going, Pat? Keep up the...
And has he got like a jacket with like Trout Enterprise on it?
Yeah, he does.
Fucking brilliant. Great name. My yurt of the week is obviously everybody who's bought a ticket to Whelan's. That goes without saying. Thanks so much. And secondly, as we said earlier on in what we've done for the week, we went to Bursley today, Amanda Stapleton Benefit Fund game, the Tip and Kilkenny Legends. And I guess it's just a yurt for everybody. Like, you really see the community spirit when there's adversity and everybody comes together. The organisation it took last night, everybody giving up their time, you know, for free and stuff like that. It was brilliant to see. And that's my yurt of the week. And we wish them all the best with that.
And it was great to see Larry Corbett strap up the hamstrings.
Yeah.
And don his green, luminous boots.
I tell you one thing. Took some stones to wear those boots, Larry, you know, in fairness. But we loved it.
Actually, Paddy McCourt has retired. The Jerry Pele.
Don't sell McCourt, boy.
Paddy McCourt.
It brings you back to the days of Santa Ponza.
Yeah, so, great servant. Hope you enjoy your retirement, Paddy.
Brilliant stuff, lads. That's it for this week. So, from me, Johnny Smacks.
How did we do, Lauren?
I think you did pretty good. How did I do?
Yeah, great. Well done. We're very impressed.
No, you've changed my whole opinion of Claire.
In a good or a bad way?
In a good way.
Good way.
Couldn't have got much worse.
So that's it from this week. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Lauren.
We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Good luck.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.